Track 1.1. Lesson 1.1. Listening. Exercise B.
So, how did the job interview go, Dan?
It was a breeze. I got the job. But the thing is, I start in 2 weeks and I've got nothing to wear. The job involves meeting important clients, but they won't take me seriously in my scruffy jeans and hoodie.
Sounds like you need some new clothes.
I know, but I'm on a tight budget until I receive my first few months' salary.
It's easy to look good without spending a fortune. Do you have a suit?
No, but I saw a suit yesterday for 40% off in a sale. So I'll save almost £100 if I buy that.
Well, you're only saving money if you buy something you really need. If you're just buying it because it's cheap, you're throwing money down the drain. It's much better in the long run to invest in timeless classics. For example, instead of buying a cheap off-the-shelf suit that you'll need to replace in a few months, save up for a tailor-made suit that will make you look fantastic for many years.
OK, I admit that suit was a bit cheap-looking, but it was the only one in my size. They had some lovely suits in the sale, but they were all too tight or too loose for me.
Well, you can always buy oversized clothes, as long as they're good quality, and then take them in.
What do you mean, take them in?
It's when you unpick the seams, move the pieces of fabric closer together and sew them back together. In fact, more generally, I'd say the best way to look good without spending loads of money is to learn to sew. But hang on a second. Didn't you have to wear a suit for the job interview?
Well, it was an online interview, so I just wore a jacket from an old suit and a nice shirt and tie to create a good impression. They had no idea I was wearing baggy tracksuit trousers under my desk.
You're winding me up. Oh, it's usually a good idea to mix and match parts of different outfits, which can save you a lot of money. But I'd say mixing a suit with a tracksuit is taking things a bit far. Do you still have the trousers to go with that jacket?
Yeah, I've actually got two old suits with perfectly good jackets, but trousers that I can't wear. One pair is coming apart at the seams. The other is completely worn out at the knee.
It sounds like you can start your sewing lessons on those trousers. Then you'll have two suits in your wardrobe for peanuts. That's actually a good example of how to go shopping in your wardrobe.
Sorry, where?
In your wardrobe. Most people have loads of clothes that they never wear. The trick is to sort them into four categories. Love, mend, sell, and bin.
Go on.
Love is for the clothes that make you look and feel great. Mend is for the clothes that you need to adjust or repair. Sell is for the clothes that you can auction online. And then bin is for everything else. Basically, you need to get rid of them.
Okay, I've got loads of clothes that I could sell, but I've never used an auction website before. Do you think anyone will buy my old clothes?
You'd be surprised. I mean, most customers on those sites stick to the professional sellers with beautiful tailor-made sales pages created by web designers. But I actually buy most of my clothes from ugly sales pages created by inexperienced sellers.
What? Are you saying I should create an ugly sales page for my second-hand clothes?
No, not at all. The more professional your sales page, the more you can charge for your clothes. And it needs to be a seamless process for your customers from beginning to end. So, as a general rule, when you're selling clothes, it's well worth taking the time to make your sales page look good. For example, you can just use one of the off-the-shelf templates from the auction site. Choose a template that catches your eye. It's much better than creating your own site from scratch.
Okay, sounds like good advice. And when I'm buying clothes online to replace the ones I'm selling?
Then you should look out for newbie sellers with bad photos. They're usually good for picking up a bargain.
Yes, that makes sense. So are auction sites the best place to pick up cheap second-hand clothes?
Sometimes. But the best place to buy them is often charity shops, even though they're pretty exhausting. You need to know where to go if you want to avoid wearing yourself out for nothing. For instance, the best charity shops are in posh, exclusive neighbourhoods. You'd be amazed what you can pick up there. The trick is to avoid shops in a trendy area or one with lots of students. All the best stuff will be snapped up immediately.
Okay, good. What about regular shops?
They're fine, as long as you're not too choosy. The big-name stores are often no better than others, but they charge a lot more for the same stuff. But wherever you go, don't forget to haggle to get the price down.
What do you mean?
Ask the shop assistant for a discount. I always ask, is this the best you can do? Many shop assistants are authorised to offer discounts, so it's always worth haggling. You've got nothing to lose but your pride.
OK, I'll give it a go. Thanks.
Track 1.2, Lesson 1.1, Pronunciation, Exercise B. 1.
I saw a nice suit yesterday for 40% off.
2.
You're only saving money if you buy something you need.
3.
I just wore a jacket from an old suit.
4.
They had no idea I was wearing tracksuit trousers.
5.
Are auction sites the best place to pick up cheap clothes?
6.
Avoid shops in a trendy area or one with lots of students.
7.
Many shop assistants are authorised to offer discounts.
Track 1.3, Lesson 1.2, Listening, Exercise B.
Hello, and welcome to the latest website design podcast. Today, I've invited Dora Cho to talk about becoming a trendsetter. As I'm sure you know, Dora's video channel is the most hyper-influential source of advice on lifestyle trends on the web. Dora, are you there? Sorry, I forgot to unmute Dora's microphone. Dora?
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, sorry, Dora. Shall we restart?
You know what? Keep going. One of the most common mistakes that new vloggers and podcasters make is to expect everything to be perfect. So they edit and re-edit everything again and again. But when things go wrong, we hear the real, authentic you. And that's what makes your podcast engaging. You actually need to unlearn all those rules about perfection.
Okay, but your videos are always amazing. You seem so self-confident and relaxed. How do you do that?
It all comes down to experience. My first videos were pretty cheesy and amateurish. I used to be quite disaster-prone with technology. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong. But after a while, it got a lot easier. I learned everything by taking risks and making mistakes. It was frustrating at the time, but you need to go through that experience. I'm a lot more tech-savvy now, but I'm still learning.
Great. So, how did you start your vlog?
First of all, I set myself a target of one video every week for a year. I figured that if nobody cared after a year, I'd give up. And it did take a while to get noticed, which was frustrating. But over the months, I started to see biggish audience numbers. By the end of the year, I had 7,000 subscribers.
Wow! And now?
6 million.
Amazing! So, what am I doing wrong with my podcasts?
Well, there's no need to be negative. The most important thing is that you've found your niche and you've created some excellent content.
Really? Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's true. But if you want to move to the next level, you need to be really systematic. I mean, when do your podcasts come out?
It depends. Whenever I have a goodish idea for a podcast, then I try to make it within a few days.
Okay, but you can't expect your listeners to check your website every day on the off chance that you've released another episode. That's not user-friendly at all. But my followers can be absolutely sure that every Wednesday at 10 o'clock, there will be a new video on my channel.
Okay, but what if you run out of ideas?
I won't. I plan everything at least 6 months in advance, and I set alerts on my phone to tell me what to do and when. I've tried to make my system idiot-proof so that I can't mess up.
Okay.
You also need to be far more social media savvy. Once you've released each episode, tell the world about it. And don't just post a link. You need to engage with your audience too, by replying to the comments on your site. People love to feel listened to.
Every single comment?
Well, there are plenty of people who post offensive or spammy comments. The trick is to ignore them and focus on the people who want to join your community. You can also ask them what they'd like you to talk about in future podcasts. Once you've got an active community behind you, you'll never run out of ideas.
Right. Okay, so I'll do all that. But it sounds like hard work.
It is hard work. Not long ago, a journalist mentioned my blog in an article about overnight successes. I suppose in many people's eyes, I am an overnight success. They probably think I'm super lucky to have made the big time. But they don't see the years of hard work behind that success.
Right. So I just need to keep working hard on my podcasts, right?
Well, your podcasts are great, as I say. But actually, I think your content would work much better as smartphone-friendly videos. I mean, you talk about website design, so we really need to be able to see what you're talking about.
Maybe, but I'm not as charismatic as you. I hate being in front of the camera.
Well, I felt awkward at first too, but you do get used to it. I really think you should have a rethink and become a vlogger instead.
Okay, I'll give it a go. Dora Cho, thanks so much for joining me today. You've given me a long list of jobs to do. I feel super exhausted just thinking about it.
Track 1.4, Lesson 1.2. Vocabulary, Exercise C. 1.
You actually need to unlearn all those rules about perfection.
2.
Whenever I have a goodish idea for a podcast, then I try to make it within a few days.
3.
You also need to be far more social media savvy.
4.
Well, there are plenty of people who post offensive or spammy comments.
5.
Your content would work much better as smartphone-friendly videos.
6.
I really think you should have a rethink and become a vlogger instead.
7.
I feel super exhausted just thinking about it.
Track 1.5, Lesson 1.2, Pronunciation, Exercise A. 1.
One of the most common mistakes that new vloggers and podcasters make is to expect everything to be perfect.
2.
But after a while, it got a lot easier.
3.
If nobody cared after a year, I'd give up. And it did take a while to get noticed.
4.
You've found your niche and you've created some excellent content.
5.
Every Wednesday at 10 o'clock, there will be a new video on my channel.
6.
I suppose in many people's eyes, I am an overnight success.
7.
I felt awkward at first too, but you do get used to it.
8.
Dora Cho, thanks so much for joining me today.
Track 1.6, Lesson 1.2, Pronunciation, Exercise C. 1.
That's one of the most popular vlogs on the web.
2.
When you reach 1 million subscribers, it will be worth it.
Three.
Is it possible to be a trendsetter and an influencer?